It's kind of weird.
Yeah. We have an expression. We always say we want to Apatow our friends because Judd Apatow just like took all of his friends and was like, okay, we're all going to be successful because I said so.
Yeah.
It's like one guy like coattailing his friends without them wanting to be coattailed.
Like,
yeah, I'm just going to grab onto the back of your shirt and ride you to the top. It's not really like that. It's more of Judd Apatow going, guys, climb on.
Give me your collar. I'm going
to
pull
you. And now Ryan Murphy's done it with TV.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, and he's actually taken the idea to a next level with, we're going to give you the same actors and just put them in different roles every year.
Yeah.
And it, I don't care if it confuses you or not, which it hasn't, which is amazing. This new season of American Horror Story is really good.
Yeah.
Sarah pushed me into watching season three, the witches. Mm-hmm.
Coven. Yeah.
The Coven. Like I saw the first season and I don't know, just to be totally honest, like I wasn't super.
The first season.
First one's probably the worst season out of the batch.
The thing is that everybody has different opinions about this because a lot of people say the first season is the best season.
True.
So like, but for me, I was just like, it was an interesting concept, but like
Murder House.
Yeah, just Murder House.
The first season is definitely less of a genre piece than the rest of it.
Yeah, it's more of a love story to the genre than anything else.
Yeah.
And that show's kind of weird, and it may be because they've done so many different themes that different seasons hit different people. I really liked Asylum, and a lot of people didn't like Asylum, and I loved Freakshow, but you know I'm a clown guy.
Yeah, I'm about clown halfway. I'm like halfway through both Freakshow and Hotel. I just haven't finished it.
Dude, I'm a really
bad horror fan sometimes.
I have been in that zone of picking up a TV show and getting halfway through it, and then just being like, I gotta watch something else, and like it's pissing me off because I still haven't finished Netflix Daredevil season 2.
Oh, dude, I haven't finished Daredevil season 1.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are the fucking worst.
But like,
I didn't have Netflix until about 3 months ago, and I didn't even have it then.
You got so much to watch.
I know it's. Stranger Things is first on my agenda.
Yeah.
It's a short.
I watched it all in like a day and a half.
Olivia and I plowed through that.
My
bitch.
Daughter, who is in West Virginia right now working for FEMA, is the, because she travels all the time, she's a Netflix person.
Yeah.
And she's the one, she came home, and I'd heard about Daredevil, obviously, and she was like, you have to watch the show, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's so
I said,
good.
Well, when I get a second.
Well, like, the funny thing is that recently I've convinced about 5 of my coworkers to ditch their cable and get Netflix.
Yeah.
And every one of them has been like, oh, thank you.
Right. Like, it'll never happen to Miles.
I live in such a bubble. I know like 2 people with cable.
Same.
I mean, you have cable too?
That doesn't really count.
Okay.
It doesn't count.
Okay.
Yeah. It's our parents that have cable.
See, like, we're old school when, you know, we only had 3 channels growing up. So
yeah.
It's weird.
I do too. Hulu, Netflix. My 3 channels are Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon.
True story.
And whatever I can get off of.
But my wife, loves all those Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, Chicago Medical, Chicago Porn Star House, Chicago, you know,
Chicago Vet Clinic.
Vet Clinic, that would be a good one. She'd watch it too. Then they had a big tie-in where the porn actress actually dog got run over by some guy in a fire truck wreck trying to save him. And, some amazing story like that.
Everybody in
Chicago Trap House.
And on that note, welcome to Name Redacted Podcast.
Hi.
As always, I'm Alexander Fulmer.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
And I'm Colin Norris.
And we have a fantastic friend of ours on the podcast today, a friend of ours named Sammy Castle.
Sammy the comic book man.
Some of you might remember him from a Winston-Salem Comic-Con panel that we did with him and our friend Susan Adams, who has been on the show a couple times as well. Sammy,
you've been on the show proper?
No,
this is the first time. Okay, welcome.
Thank you. Thank
Virgin Redacted.
Finally.
Yeah, no, like
we've discussed this for a year.
Well,
now.
No, yeah, we've talked about this on air before. Where like if it's a friend of ours, we're always like, we'll fucking get to it.
Yeah.
And then
well,
like,
we didn't have Brock and Bo on
for
like 2 years.
Yeah, well, it's tough sometimes too because. You're somebody who has a slightly more flexible schedule because you live here.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times we got to catch people when they're here or when their schedule permits. And
yeah. So it's
my wife would laugh at the fact that I have a fairly flexible schedule.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
I have not.
Yeah.
My schedule is packed from
dust
to dawn.
Just fucking, I get up and then I do all of the things, and then I sleep for 2 hours, and then I puke my guts out, and then I do it again.
Yeah. She looked at me, somebody asked her last night, said, how in the world do you handle him? And I said, look, this is what happens. Our kids are gone. They're grown up. They've graduated college. They've moved on with their lives. They've moved out. We found ourselves with a lot of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I started doing all this extra stuff. Whether it was movies or going to cons a lot more.
You don't like being bored.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I have adult ADD.
Yeah.
I can't. If I sit still for too long, I'm done. So I literally get up on Saturday morning and I look at her and go, okay. She'll go, what's on your schedule today? And I'll go, okay, I'm driving to Charlotte because Heroes is having a signing with Sanford Green. And I'd love to meet him and get my book signed. And then I'm going to drive to Burlington and I'm going to Toy Show.
How many miles have you put on your car this year?
Well, now this is
the shit-eating grin on your face.
This is a secret little thing is I have a company vehicle. I have 4 company vehicles that I can just jump in at any point and just go.
Fuck you.
I literally put 50,000 miles a year on a car that's not mine and that I don't have to pay any gas for.
Oh,
man. The most hated guy in the room right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's I'm Mike so drop. Jealous.
I groan tax hack redacted.
I groan having to drive to High Point once a week. But then again, it's High Point.
I drive 35 minutes to and from work and school.
True. This has been my last 2 days. Yesterday morning, I got up. I had a service call in Stuart, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I drove to Stuart, Virginia, fixed the pool table. I drove from Stuart to Greensboro to go sit in a makeup chair for 2.5 hours to get my face made up as the cinema demon. We went from there to the Carolina Theater. We had a horror film festival from... I was there from 4:30 to 11:30 last night. Full makeup. We went back to the church, got the makeup taken off. Me, my wife, the makeup artist, Whitney Colazzo, and her boyfriend, Jacob, went to IHOP on Battleground.
Goddamn
had
right.
dinner. We got home at 3 o'clock. I got up this morning at 8:30, drove to Marion, North Carolina to do a service call on a billet scepter jam in a jukebox. Drove back down here to meet with you guys for, 2 hours? And then I'm going to leave here and drive to Snow Camp to work the horror show till 11 o'clock tonight. And then I'm going to drive back to Winston-Salem.
It takes a lot to make us jealous. That's a pretty good couple days. That's a pretty good couple days. It doesn't hurt that your day job is working with arcade machines. That's pretty cool.
Let's be honest here. You're living our dream, but with a little bit less word convention. You know?
A little less arrested development.
Oh yeah. a little less weirdly incestual between three dudes that hate and love each other.
Yeah. Can you imagine what happens when we get Van redacted?
Oh. My God. Are you talking about the redacted bus? Because I think that's what you're talking about, is where we buy an old school bus and redact the fuck out of that thing.
And then we drive to conventions and podcast.
Oh, yeah. Bus redacted. You know what?
I'm too old. No.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put little black bars on each of the windows that'll be just the right height for me to stand naked so no one can see my junk.
Oh, no.
That's what's happening. So I can just stand in the window with my torso and pelvis, but no one can see the goods.
And then we can pay Olivia to drive, and I can just get blackout drunk every episode again.
Again.
Colin has been really good about not being blackout drunk on the show.
Colin is only sobered up so that we can be successful enough that he can go back to drinking.
Exactly. So we can make an income, and then the show can pay for his hat.
That is why I am not the real hero. Bo and Brock are the real heroes.
Those guys, man.
Yeah, full-size bus.
And then what is she doing? She's Googling it.
She looks up things that we talk about that we can't afford, and then says, look at the thing that we might be able to...
Okay, but we need at least 25 miles to the gallon.
I'm pretty sure that Chris is the one that probably gets on that bus, and the first thing he goes is, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round.
But he does it with, punk music playing. And then he stage dives on one of the fucking chairs.
The seats just collapse.
And I'm like, well, I was going to remodel this fucker anyway. So.
We pull up to Heroes, and I just fall out.
Fast times. Open up a door, smoke just rolls.
A 1995 bus for 2000.
Is she shopping for buses right now?
Yeah, this is what she does.
Oh, no, no. We had an entire episode that we lost somehow. All about if we hit the lottery, we were like, we'll buy an island.
And she was
Googling. We spent 35 fucking minutes looking up prices for private islands.
Olivia, bookmark that, please.
I tried to listen to that episode, and then I was like, what the hell happened to it?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know what happened to it either. Yeah.
See, the good thing about Sammy being on is Sammy actually listens to the show, unlike most people. So Sammy knows that we just fucking cold open you, and we don't tell you we're starting. So he was prepared, and he was like, "Oh, that's why you didn't hear. Oh, we're doing this is because Sammy knows that we're douchebags Sammy's and we just hit record."
What? We're going to shell out $3,500. Oh. You can get one that's 2001.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Well, there, now we have a start point.
Also, the fact that our podcast is a cold opening too. That he pulled on me the first time, and I went, "That'll never happen again."
Oh, dude, they didn't know the first couple times I did it to them. Like, because I didn't tell that, because we did real opens for a long time. And then one day we were just sitting there around the table when I thought the conversation was funny. Nobody was looking at me. I just reach over and slowly hit the record button. And then, like, 5 minutes into the conversation, I'm like, welcome to Name Redacted. And everybody goes, wait, what? And I was like, yeah, that's
happening.
Why
is it called
now.
A cold open? It should be a warm open.
Yeah, a little bit.
Everybody's all warmed up.
Yeah, it's cold, though.
So...
Was that the peeny butthole episode?
No, we've been doing that for a while since. But that was just the best cold
That's
open.
The best cold open we've ever done.
But Sammy does. We met Sammy through the convention circuit. No, actually, at Chris and signing. I met Sammy at a book signing through Brock and Bo.
Yes.
Which was funny because Brock and Bo actually on their episode talked about Sammy. How we ended up getting your contact info and like. Brockton was just in awe of the fact that, like, when we were there, we weren't there for business. And, like, when you walked away, I turned to Chris and I held up your card and I was like, we got a number. And, and Brock was like, that was so fucking professional in, like, the least professional way. And I was like, dude, that's what we do. We just talk to somebody until we find someone who's not buttfuck boring. And then I get their contact info and we talk to them on air.
I give out cards to Uber drivers.
That was a sales pitch.
Yeah, it was a sales pitch. Yeah, for their... For the Ginger Dead man signing. Yep.
So you also told us you've got kind of an interesting way that you got into doing creative stuff because you came into it as an adult, right? Like you weren't...
Oh, yeah. I didn't... I don't know that I did my first creative thing until I was well into my 40s.
That's so... That's crazy.
And now you're doing it every
that's
day.
That's so awesome.
And the funny thing about it is, and I tell this story a lot, how I got into it is actually... pretty decent story. I was sitting at the house one day scrolling through Facebook, and it was about August or so, and Woods of Terror put out a Facebook post going, hey, we're looking for people to volunteer to play zombies for the weekend. And I went, oh, zombies. And I looked at my wife and I said, let's go do zombies for the day. And she said, what the hell are you talking about? And I said, look, we can go play zombies for the day. I said, we'll call Morgan, which was our youngest daughter, who was in college at Guilford at the time. I said, we'll get just a whole bunch of the kids going over to... Take a hit and pass it on. We'll just take a bunch of kids over and we'll dress up as zombies. Well, the deal was they wanted you dressed when you got there.
Right.
But if you got there early enough in costume, the Woods of Terror staff would help you touch up your
that's awesome
your stuff. Yeah.
By touching up, they mean this? Rub dirt and blood on it.
Probably.
How long ago was this?
3 years ago. It was 3 years ago in July.
Sarah was still working there.
So she, you know, that it just hit me. I think she actually worked on.
You think she did?
Yes. So we were. That's awesome. Emily Wood was the head makeup artist. Yeah. Okay.
Kind of.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
Sarah was really
So, we went to the local Goodwill that morning or local thrift store that morning, got a bunch of old dirty clothes, went to South Little League, rolled around in the dirt, and showed up with no makeup done.
So you did the opposite. You threw dirt and blood on it and then came
3 hours early. Yeah. We got there 3 hours. So they were like, oh, well, okay, we'll do your makeup. So we had all four of us got fantastic makeup jobs. Done. So we volunteered and played zombies for the day. Met Dan that day. We just talked briefly.
Dan Sellers.
Got his contact information, started following the Facebook page and stuff like that. 3 months later, he said, I think I've got enough footage to actually do a feature-length film. He said, but I need to cast some more parts. So he put out a casting call. So I sent him an email, and I said, I have never acted in my life. Will you take me?
he was like, perfect.
The call was like a guy who's that stereotypical horror old guy, that 50-year-old guy that goes, don't go in the woods, you crazy kids.
Rocking chair and shotgun.
That's what it looked like, yeah. I said, I'm not.
Yeah, like the guy from Pet Cemetery.
Yeah. I'm not 50, but I can play 50 because of the hair. And he said, it was like 3 weeks, and I'm checking my email every day. I don't ever check my email every day. Checking my email every day going, Do I hear? Heard back from him 3 weeks later, and he said, I've looked at the zombie footage. I think I can cut you out enough. I'd love to offer you the part. So I played the hobo for in a little movie called Hank vs. the Undead.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's how I got into it, and then it just
never
exploded.
Stopped. Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of Hank vs. the Undead, we need to get a copy of that.
I have one.
Do you?
Yeah.
I thought somebody did.
We haven't watched it yet. We're terrible friends.
Oh, man. Y'all are terrible.
We're bad.
We're just
this whole supporting your friends kind of thing, and then you just shit on
them.
it's nominal.
We're holding out to watch it together, and we're just, it's hard to get us in the same place off air. Gotcha. Yeah.
So
I've heard that story before.
Yeah.
starting out doing it as like somebody who's not, you know, in their teens, 20s, like doing it when you're like an adult and got shit to do and grown up stuff. Yeah. Like, was it kind of a harder level of entry for you, or were you just like, fuck it, I want to do it and this is what I'm doing now?
No, well, I mean, it's because of my job, I think it's easier. I have a little more leeway in what I do and how my job is basically you do your job until it gets done.
Yeah.
Right. So if if I can, and I used to do this when the kids played softball. Mm-hmm. We played travel softball for years.
Yeah, okay.
And I used to do that with them, and I would literally go to the ball field, stay with them all evening, take them home, put them down to bed, and then go back to work.
So you're used just to the lifestyle already.
Yeah. And I do a lot of business with bars and stuff like that, so it's late night stuff anyway. Yeah. So
like you said, if a bill acceptor jams at a bar at 11 p.m., you got to go take care of it, you know?
Exactly. Not as bad anymore with Touch Tunes and all that nice mobile stuff.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it makes it a little bit easier. But
I like trolling bars using the Touch Tunes app.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, who keeps playing Nickelback?
No, nah, the
I
best
do not
is just
understand
to play.
The hate for Nickelback. I don't.
Oh,
I
don't. Oh.
We're gonna get into that.
Gonna,
if I start screaming,
it's like when I talk about chemtrails.
Yeah, no, it's okay. What I would do if I had the TouchTunes app is I would just keep going in there and playing Kiss by a Rose by Seal over and over and over. Just the one song, no other Seal.
I knew that was never gonna give you up.
But that's too meta.
You were the guy to kill.
No, what you do is, I read an article about this dude. It was a Vice article. This guy played The Boys Are Back in Town by Thin Lizzy 15 times at a bar.
Now that I could do.
It cleared the bar.
I'm an 80s rock guy. I mean, that's...
It's always funny.
I survived 80s.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny if you do it with a good song, because you watch the roller coaster.
Yeah. Guys, it's going to come around again.
Although my kids have ruined some of my favorite 80s rock songs, too, so...
Good. Yeah. That's what a kid's for. A kid's for
Wait,
ruining
you
shit
one.
Love.
Yeah.
Then I kind of do.
Then you won't be so damn happy.
Yeah, I've got these two assholes.
I love
basically.
One of my favorite AC/DC songs was TNT, and I played it for the kids, and we were done. That was I was like, play it again. No, even I don't want to hear it anymore. Stop.
That's awesome. How can I possibly get sick of Queen? You can do it. Trust
you can.
Me.
But anyway,
play Killer Queen on repeat.
A little bit getting back to the question, it's actually been a little easier because I'm the perfect kind of actor. I work for free. I can get there, and I'm available a lot.
Yeah. I'll make it work.
Yes,
so.
Exactly.
His acting chops are meh, but he's free.
Yes. Somebody made a joke last night about working an actor. Somebody described an actor as being as an actor, but is really coachable and works cheap. And I went, I would raise my hand.
Yeah. I heard Nerdist was interviewing Eli Roth, about what was that movie with the girls and Keanu Reeves?
Oh,
Knock Knock.
Knock Knock.
About yeah, Knock Knock, yeah.
Still haven't seen that.
And Eli Roth says something along the lines of like, yeah, no, Keanu Reeves, total typecast, terrible actor, but if you write a role to him, he's going to do everything you want him to do. He's going to come on set every day, stoked to be there, and that guy just loves what he does. And he's like, that's why he gets as much work as he does. Yeah, that's why he's famous. He's
one of the highest paying actors in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
he's passionate about every project. And that's, project he I mean, does.
Especially Bill and Ted.
My opinion is I'm gonna approach anything with some gusto to it.
Yeah. You know,
if I'm gonna do it, I might as well freaking do it.
Yeah. There's no point in doing a thing and phoning it in.
Don't,
there's no point.
Don't have half-ass two things.
Yes.
Whole-ass one thing.
That's pretty good. That is. That's pretty good.
I don't know where I got that from, but
off my brain.
The internet.
Probably. So Zane,
I'm just there somewhere.
You stole it from Reddit.
Probably.
Since you've started, about how many projects do you think you've worked on over the years?
Like I've only actually been doing it a little over three years, and I've done six now.
Wow.
You know, and that's just spare time kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not including film festivals and Comic Cons and horror shows and, you know, and
so
stuff
you just
like
that. Being part of the scene. You like just being around it and stuff.
I like people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Colin, not so much.
I think I'm a personable guy. So.
Yeah. That is definitely the truth.
Yeah.
Every time I see you, you're like,
My wife has turned me into a verb.
or an adjective,
even worse.
That's Sammy.
We were somewhere, and I was with some. I think I was with Dan, and we had came back, and we were talking about, and my wife just went. He went down there and turned the Sammy on.
That's the name of the episode.
Terrible.
Right there.
Don't do that.
Turning the Sammy on with Sammy.
Turning the Sammy.
Oh, that's good. I like it. So, like, are you basically just kind of sitting wholeheartedly in these little pocket horror projects?
I've submitted for a couple of films. A lot of it's been kind of word of mouth. I'm part owner of a production company now, so whatever we do, I have some saying at least some bit part in. They're writing a script now. That is tentatively titled The Boogeyman of Black Mountain.
Ooh,
and I will be the boogeyman. So I don't
I'll
know
be if, the Black Mountain.
I don't know if I'm gonna be
I wanna make a callback.
I'm done.
I wanna make a callback to our interview.
Will Matari or Roosevelt either one have a problem with that?
Eddie.
Matari would support it.
Matari would be all about it because he knows that's what's hot in the streets.
But it's good in the hood.
Roosevelt Pitt might be like, I'll let you do it, but understand why I don't want you to.
Should I text JD and Micah and just...
Oh, JD and Micah would be like...
No, you do that.
They'd be like, Alex for president, 2016. Black Mountain for president. I like that idea, though. Just put me in a big mountain costume.
That sounds like a...
And just have Sammy stand 30 feet in front of me.
Going, boogie, boogie, boogie.
And then me shaking the costume. Like, oh, I'm scared. I'm a mountain.
Alex,
earthquake.
You don't understand that by being the Black Mountain, you are taking jobs away from actual mountains.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Wow, this went south in a hurry.
Welcome to New Connected Podcast.
I'm Alexander Fuller. But we've all noticed that like you do love the horror project kind of thing. Have you thought about kind of pushing out a little bit more towards the other stuff? Because we know you like comic book stuff and whatnot. So have you thought about doing maybe like, because we all love schlocky movies and we all would be very stoked about doing schlocky movies. And I have considered doing a schlocky fake ripoff comic book movie.
Obviously, I have a little comedic element to me.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody that. I like to the first Hank versus the Undead when we did it. There's a there's there, spoiler alert, there's a death scene that I just smile happened. Through a lot.
Somebody's dying and Sandy's just like, dope.
No, I am just grinning from ear to ear because I'm on a freaking movie.
Guys, I'm on set. No, this is a terrifying scene. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm smiling.
He's like tweeting.
Just standing in the background with a cell phone like, this is dope. Look how happy I am. And there's just a person getting butchered in the background with this big goofy grin on his face. Like, look at the dead guy.
So Schlocky is right up my alley. And I've been told here recently that I may be cast in a horror movie as the comedic sidekick.
Nice!
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm down with that.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
There needs to be more buddy cop horror movies.
Yes, oh my God.
Starring Sammy Castle.
Wolf Cop. Has anybody seen Wolf Cop?
Wolf Cop is fucking amazing.
Colin got more excited about that than anything I've ever... That was more exciting than when he was like, I'm engaged now, guys. Like, oh no, this is more important.
Wolf Cop!
It's about a werewolf! Who's a cop? What aren't you fucking getting about this?
And
he likes strippers!
As he's making it rain.
A dollar, yeah.
Guys, this is so much better than chemtrails.
He gets drunk and turns into a werewolf. And he rides around in his fucking cruiser fighting crime. It's amazing.
Because he's a cop.
A werewolf.
The job doesn't stop when the fangs come out, y'all.
But when the sun rises.
Wolf lives matter.
You got to laugh on the other room.
You made the other room pop. The other room pop for you.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And that is no way taking away from the Black Lives Matter movement. It was just a joke.
Don't even explain it.
Well,
you don't need that.
As someone who has spent the last 3 months posting hashtag clown lives matter, even during the midst of all the clown episodes going on, man, that really was
I was
happening.
Really bummed out that was a hoax.
I kind of was too.
I was at least
level of hoax it was. Like, I was hoping it was a hoax insofar as there were actually clowns, but they weren't trying to kill people.
Very first Fox...
There have been a couple of actual...
Well, that's just copycats now.
The very first Fox 8 news story came out, and somebody put it on my page and said, Sammy, is this you? And I was like, I'm practicing for the haunted house. Why do y'all keep bothering me? Hashtag clown lives matter.
So you're into the whole creepy clown thing.
Oh, yeah, tremendously.
So what are your thoughts on the new adaptation of It?
I like the costume.
Yeah.
This is my thought process on it. Jack Nicholson had to be completely different from Sid Caesar. Mm-hmm. Heath Ledger had to be completely different from Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Or else you're just being a copycat. You're being... they had to do something different. Tim Curry is so iconic as that character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had to do something different.
There will never
be
another
Pennywise. I like the frills around the neck. I like the old school... Has anybody seen Clown?
I've seen Clown. Okay. Yeah.
It's that old school type mm-hmm. costume.
That satin look.
It's all going to come down to how Bill Skarsgård plays it.
Yeah.
But I like the look.
I was really bummed out when Cary Fukunaga dropped off the project because I was really interested in him doing a horror spin. Because the first season of True Detective is absolutely incredible.
Absolutely.
The movie Beasts of No Nation is absolutely incredible. So I was wondering. Nice. I was wondering what.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was wondering what he was going to do, but I still have faith that it's going to be good.
So you're in the clown room?
I have been a lot. The rumor is I may be twisty this year. Some, at least. I'm kind of anxious to play that a little bit. But yeah, it's... Sometimes you work different costumes at different nights. But mm-hmm. I played a clown a lot last year.
Yeah.
I have a buddy. Do y'all know Jason Patern?
I know. I'm familiar with his work in his Hot Pink Jesus series.
Yes. Jason, I can say it because he's already put a Facebook page out. He is writing a new movie right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason has a fear of clowns. And the title of it is called Kill Giggles. And his idea is to kill as many clowns in as horrific a way as possible.
This dude is a prolific local filmmaker.
So I've got to be involved with this. Yeah. And every time he posts something about anti-clowns, I just clown power. This is the kind of person I am. I ran 3 of our guides off last year before they ever got in the show. We would have a meeting in the tent before it's treated like a stage show. We have a cast meeting before we go out every night. I would just be dressed as this creepy clown, and I would just stare at people.
Just silently staring? Yeah, just silently Jesus, staring. God in heaven.
And we had this little girl to come in to do a guide. She was a little high schooler, and she one of the great big guys in the show she knew, and I was just standing behind her, and he goes, "She's scared of clowns," and I went, "Okay." So I just stared at her, and I was like way away from her, you know. And she would turn around, and she'd see me, and she'd just kind of skulk off. And then she started hiding behind him, and you know, and all this stuff. And we were she took kind of moved in front of him, and I just took one step forward. And then the next time she looked back, she was like, "Oh," and she kind of moved again, and I took one step forward, just slowly and methodically, to the point where, right as the meeting's getting ready to end, she turned around, and I'm right behind her. She screamed. She left the tent right then and never came back. Todd looked at me and went, "Sammy, Jesus, you got to quit doing this, man.
Got to quit doing this."
But you know,
as in not the first time.
we've got 4 or 5 clowns
turning that Sammy on.
Yes, exactly. We would they would call out my name. They do roll call and they go, "Sammy," and I would just go and raise my arm up, well, like the Black Power thing, and then I would go, "Clown power," and every clown in the tent would go, "Clown power."
So it's running a fucking gang of clowns.
Oh my god, you're juggalos. Is what I'm here.
So Sammy, how was your trip down to South Carolina to scare some kids?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's hot in South Carolina, kind of sandy.
Not just the beach. The whole fucking state is just sandy.
I got hit with lots of peaches.
Us too, actually.
I heard that. That's the reason I told. Segway.
He's calling back our own podcast.
Dude, Sammy is one of 2 people that's ever called back previous episodes that's not a host.
Yeah.
Which I like that.
I haven't listened to every podcast, but I have listened
to a lot. A few is good.
Start with year 2. It's like Destiny. It doesn't get good until year 2.
Yeah. You've cut back a few episodes already. That's pretty good. I feel like there's a certain amount of hazing at a haunted house that's almost necessary, right? Because you don't need guides that are like freaking out mid-tour.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be me. You guys can attest to how fucking I am. I am a huge horror fan. I love it. I did every haunted house.
But he's also the worst fucking horror film watcher of all time.
Yeah.
You should see me. He talked through it.
No.
No, I just react physically.
Oh, well, no, that's the best kind.
He blurts through it where he goes, "Bleh," and then shakes. Like, oh, and God, throws his arms out.
I'm coming out here to watch all the horror movies.
Oh, my God.
We went to go see Evil Dead, and we had, like, a whole crew. We had, like, a whole row in the movie theater.
There were, like, 10 or 15 of us.
And the whole movie theater would laugh every time a scare happened because of Colin's reaction in the back of the theater.
Colin would swipe at the fucking screen. And, like, no shit, the most common noise in the theater from an audience member was Colin going, "Bleh."
You should have seen Olivia and
Colin. Colin was shouting, "Don't go in there."
girl. You put that knife down. We went to go see Blair Witch, the new one. And
Chad and I are going to try to pick it up this week.
It's good. That being said,
I really enjoyed the first one.
We were the only people in the movie theater.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if that was good
or bad.
Or bad. But there was definitely some times where I went, because that movie is fucking tense, man.
We went to see God, I just drew a complete blank. What's the new Shark movie with Blake Lively?
The Shallows.
The Shallows. Yeah. We went to see The Shallows.
Yeah. Sharknado 12.
Yes.
Sharknado
2. That's what it ends up being.
Sharknado 2, Aquatic Boogaloo.
There's the scene where the shark eats the first guy, and I never saw it coming. For whatever reason, it caught me completely off guard. And Chad, my buddy Chad, is sitting two seats away from me, and I literally jerked, and it jerked all the seats. And he just turned and looked at me, and I went, "It got me, dude. What are you doing?"
So that's what I paid for, so man. Why are you judging me?
A couple weeks later, somebody posts a meme of just that shot, and he tagged me. Oh, he was like, "I said, what do you want me to say, dude? I go to get scared."
So we went to Halloween Horror Nights last year. We did every single haunted house, but my fiance was terrified because she didn't realize that in that, once you go in.
It starts.
It starts. Yeah, there are people scaring you constantly.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
And she got wasted.
That's what I'm about to put in my Charlotte's
just a deal.
She had to get, she got fucking
shit house.
Hammered.
Yeah.
And she had a blast after that, but.
We have a.
Way more of a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween
party. She wants to do that, definitely.
We call that a code yellow. If for somebody that's drunk and kind of belligerent or likes to touch a bunch of props or stuff like that.
She wasn't that
We send a security guard through. I mean, even if they're just drunk, because you can smell them in the tent.
Yeah.
No, but to be fair, they were serving alcohol
in the tour.
At the tour. Oh, like, okay, at this place. So,
Sarah is an anomaly because Sarah loves horror shit, all of it, but won't go into my basement.
No, I think you just don't get it. The reason Colin freaks out so much about scary stuff is because he watches a lot of horror movies, and I'm sure Sarah too. And then your imagination starts running.
It runs wild
over little stuff because you've got this just anthology of terrible shit that could happen at any moment.
Every time, because I'm not a huge horror person, and every time I watch a horror thing, I'm just like, yeah, I guess that just happened.
Well,
this is all I get out of it.
One of the worst horror movies I've ever seen, and Brock and Bo will appreciate this. I was about 11 or 12 or something like that in Elvira. I remember when Elvira was actually on TV.
Cassandra Peterson.
And I'm in 11 or 12, and Elvira's on TV, so I'm trying to sneak up to stay and watch because boobies.
Because Cassandra fucking Peterson.
The hell with freaking horror movies, boobies.
Yeah.
Because I'm 11 or 12. So
I'm 30.
My mom. Yeah, true. Have you met my wife? Anyway.
Because boobies.
44H.
Age. Colin just lost it.
Oh. Age.
That's what you think about.
Makes my front happy. We are not going to post this on Sammy the Comic Book Man, by the way.
No. I don't even think we can plug that now.
Oh, we can. We just can't plug this on Sammy the Comic Book Man.
My mom very seldom would let me stay up and watch it because I'm young and bad.
It's
horror
late
movies.
And it's more it's horror.
Exactly.
Movies. Yeah.
So she happened to be gone one night, and my dad's like, "Sure, why not? Stay up as late as you want to." So I stayed up and I watched Elvira, and she played a movie called Pigs. Just Pigs. It's some cheesy late 70s movie. It's really dark. You can't hardly see anything, which makes it that much worse. But it's this dude that just started feeding people to his pigs. And you know, they say pigs will eat people. That's the whole point of
Oh, yeah.
Animal.
Snatch.
Yes. Be wary of a man who keeps a pig farm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I watched Pigs, and to this day, it is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. But it's because I was 12.
Yeah.
And I was in a dark house. By my lonesome, I had psyched myself up. I'm going to watch this horror movie by myself. By the end, I was pissing my pants.
I made the mistake of watching Friday the 13th alone in my grandparents' house.
That's how you do it, though.
Hold on.
That's how you gotta do it.
Or with a group. You gotta do one of the
Never been more scared of two movies in my entire life than The Bad Guy and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
No shit. That guy scared the absolute motherfucking daylights out of me.
That Chomo.
Oh my god, with the giant nose and just the
Let me ask you, how was it like seeing when we were on set with Monty? Did that kind of give you the oogies?
The fact that I knew Monty was
the
fact that I knew Monty was underneath it made it a lot better. But the first time I saw like the prosthesis, I was like, no. 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 Do not want.
The fact the monitor's under it made it worse for me.
But the second thing was the animated version of the Nutcracker with the little rats that come out and bite people's toes.
Yeah.
I slept with my feet tucked underneath my ass for fucking like 2 years.
Yep.
Because I was like, they're just going to come out from under my bed and they're going to bite my feet and I'm going to turn into a rat. And fucking, like, I was just fucking
and start
terrified.
Singing Ben just on the blue.
Like, I just, it scared
that's
me.
An old
too
horror reference.
I got it.
Thank you, Colin.
There is one thing that I've seen recently that I couldn't sit through because, like, it creeped me. Not because I was scared of it, but because it just made me uncomfortable.
It's could, that deep bone chill.
Annabelle, about the fucking doll.
Yeah.
I don't like porcelain dolls already.
Yeah.
They already make me super uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's like that's why they made the movie.
I'm not sure I'll go home and take a picture of my daughter's bedroom and send it to you.
See, like, something about them. It's staring. Like, it's how, like, certain people in certain cultures think that fucking cameras steal your soul. Every time I see a porcelain doll, I'm like, there's a dead guy in there. Like, there's the soul of an axe murderer in that fucking doll.
Yeah, Chucky, man.
And I am more willing to sit in a room with a Chucky doll than a fucking porcelain-faced little girl doll.
How sick I am, and this clown thing continues on. I have a friend in Madison who is deathly afraid of clowns. They talked her into going through the show last year, and I scared the bejesus out of her. And she'll never listen to the podcast. So I'm not for this year for Christmas. She's getting a porcelain clown doll.
Nice.
So you got clowns and porcelain dolls all wrapped up into one. I'm sick. She's gonna open that on Christmas, and
like
I'm gonna ruin
person.
Her Christmas.
You're the goddamn devil.
Yeah, I love that you're proud of that. Like, that makes me so happy. But to completely switch gears here,
yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Sammy the Comic Book Man.
Oh, yes.
Because that is one of the most important things that we needed to talk about. Anyway. But also,
it's the polar opposite of
and it's the polar
opposite.
Like, it goes from Sammy
opposite.
Being the worst human being in the world to being the greatest man I've ever heard of. Actually, when Sammy showed us the sneak peek of the trailer for the documentary on it,
yeah.
I got a little bit, like, emotional about it.
He was tearing up on me.
Yeah, like...
I was like, don't know, because I about cried last night when I saw it on the big screen.
Like, being honest, like, because now that I am, you know, kind of becoming responsible for
a tiny human being,
mm-hmm. Like, it gets me. Because, like, I've always wanted to be a father my whole life.
Yeah.
And now, like, I'm having the opportunity to just step into a role like that. And I'm just like... Because I talk about these kinds of things all the time, where like, fuck, like, we bought Princeless for Lucy,
mm-hmm.
and I'm writing a kids comic and shit, and I want, like, Lucy to love the kids comic and all this other stuff, and, like, I want to get it into nerd stuff and all this. And then I see this trailer, and I'm just like, like, I turned to Sammy several times throughout the thing. I was like, you're the best human being I know. Like, this is, like, and it was emotional for me. And I think that that's awesome. Like, go over what you do so people can understand why I'm such a bitch. Because like, that's what's happening.
I won't go into the backstory too much because that's kind of covered in the documentary. But what I do is...
We don't want any spoilers.
No spoilers.
I go to elementary and middle schools, and I do basically a show and tell. About comic books and reading in general, comic books specifically. I'll show the process of making a comic book. I've got a penciled print, it's a penciled original page, a inked page, a partially colored page, and then a batch of full colored
mm-hmm.
prints and pages and stuff like that, so they can kind of see the process.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the story of what got me into reading, whether it was my mom or the first comic book I've pulled off the rack, mm-hmm. which I still have, the Star Wars movie. I use a lot of Treasury editions because they're big and kids and in
mm-hmm.
classes and stuff can see a lot of it. I do a section on real history and comics, whether it's Captain America and World War II. I cover Superman, Muhammad Ali,
mm-hmm.
and the Civil Rights Movement, the 9/11 books, which mean a lot to me,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's a Spider-Man Black issue
or
the
Spider-Man Black issue.
Black.
I've got it upstairs.
Or the Heroes book.
The Heroes book. It still gets me.
And I get teared up almost every time I do that segment
yeah.
of the the show and tell. I do a segment on women in comics, not superhero, not, but female writers, mm-hmm. female
like
artists.
Like Gail Simone.
Yeah.
Star.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not an anime kind of guy, and that kind of reminds me of that kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
she's got a little bit of that.
Yeah.
You can tell when she grew up.
I mean,
I understand.
And this is another thing I always preach to the kids. You have what you like.
Mm-hmm.
So if Colin likes horror and Alex likes anime and you like comedy,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean any of you're all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't mean any of y'all are more right than the other one.
It's fun to argue about and have discourse.
Yeah.
Also, that's the perfect reason we should read an anime horror comedy.
Guys.
Uh-oh.
$1 million idea.
But you got to sell it to
you. I could take him seriously if he had said $1 million idea if he didn't have that Magneto shirt on.
This makes him more serious.
Oh, my God. Oh, my.
No.
Yeah, the thing peeled.
No, this is the most serious thing I own.
I have a story for you real quick. I'm sorry. I'm totally derailing everything.
No. But it's name redacted. It's what you do. Yeah.
Well, we were getting done with the film shoot, and we were like coming up with other ideas of stuff to do and kind of structuring out like what we were gonna do with stuff. I had a meeting at my house, and it was me, my roommate now, Reed was there, mm-hmm. and then my drummer Rob was there, and also my new girlfriend at the time was there, and we'd been dicking around doing some principal photography. Doing some principal photography on an idea Gavin had for some like Hot Wheels. So him and Rob were just like messing around playing, and Rob had a Batman mask on, and we're just in this room and we're like having a conversation, and then it gets really heated and we're like yelling and everybody's like disagreeing, and then like everybody, like we didn't even realize he still had the Batman mask on. And then after it was done, Taylor was like, yeah, I couldn't take any of you guys seriously because Rob was just screaming with a Batman mask
on.
It's
like when I yell at Olivia in my underwear. She's like, I can't.
That would make me laugh. No.
So anyway, you talk to kids about how it's okay to have your interests.
Yes. And art's the same way. Chris Bocciolo is just world famous for being this tremendous artist.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't get it.
I personally don't like his work. I think it's too busy. I think there's too much. But again, it doesn't make...
It's all personal aesthetic.
Yeah, it's what you...
People don't like Jim Lee because he's too clean.
Yes.
I mean, for example...
My big one's Steve Dillon. I love Steve Dillon, and a lot of people don't like Steve Dillon.
I like Tim Sale. People shit on him constantly.
Yep.
I mean, his art, because, I mean, yeah, his fucking proportions are completely out of whack, but I love it.
I mean, like, one of my favorite artists is actually a local artist named Billy Fowler, and the reason I love him is because everything is so weirdly proportioned and elongated that you can tell, like, there's no fucking mistaking that it's Billy Fowler's work.
No, I can, like, I can spot Fowler art a mile away.
Like, and it's amazing because it's like cartoony, but not stupid, silly cartoony, mm-hmm. but still just silly enough to be like, this is kind of cute.
Yeah.
He actually did a little cute monster sketch for Lucy in the sketchbook her. Yeah. It's this little furry creature with stripes. It's really
we
got
to get Smitty to do one of
and
those.
See, and,
he did.
And okay. And I'm fairly observant, so I have noticed everything that's been hanging on the walls in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the fact that I'm a Thor guy, but that's the print that's the thing that stood out to me because that's my style of art.
That's from
Ultimates. That is Ultimates number five, I believe.
Yeah. The only reason I can tell it's Ultimates is because of the Iron Man head.
Well,
God, I'm such a nerd.
Funny thing. Okay, funny story behind this. Behind me is the cover from Ultimates number five, which is literally my favorite cover in comic book history. I love this cover. I had seen this cover when it came out before I really started collecting comics. And my friend Anthony Zolo invited me to go to Heroes Con with him, and I'd never been to a convention. He used to go to SCAD, so he's going down to see the SCAD booth and all his mm-hmm. friends. So we went down there, and I was walking around picking up prints and stuff, and being like, I could spend money on this shit. And then I saw this, and I was like, it's my favorite cover. So I picked it up. And Tony's like, yeah, it's awesome, right? Laura Martin colored that. And I was like, I don't know who that is, but that's awesome. And he goes, she's sitting right over there. And I was like, okay. And he goes, go get it signed. And I was like, Okay. I can do that? Yeah, so I walked over and she signs it and it doesn't impact me. Well, it doesn't impact me until fucking 6 years later when I do start collecting comics and I realize, holy shit, that's Laura Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, that behind you is also Laura Martin.
Yeah.
So, like, and they're both signed by her. So, like, it was just a really cool thing. And also, this is...
the fucking pencils and inks are Mark Brooks.
Yeah.
Which is like...
Yeah, but he wasn't there. Yeah. So it's not as important. But, like, it's just cool that, like, you picked up on that because 95% of the artwork in this house that's hung up is comic book shit.
Yeah.
Same with my house.
Yeah, so, like...
Mine too.
And that's the thing is that...
with bunnies, like, thrown in.
Yeah, fucking... there's just a ton of comic book art. Yeah. And it's funny because one of my friends came in one day and he was like, everything is comic books, but nothing looks even remotely similar.
Like a comic book.
Yeah, like, and I was like, yeah, I mean, that's the point, is I don't want fucking one thing. I don't want, like, 150 John Romitas on my wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that would be really boring and stupid.
I like putting my friends on my wall.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The fact that I have a signed Bridget Connell print that of Charlie Day. Like
that makes me so happy, the fact that... that I got that a year and a half before before Green got signed to Hellboy.
Yeah.
Stephen Green gets signed to Hellboy literally a year and some change after I get that Magneto drawn.
And he draws it and Mignola.
And he draws it and he says, I'm doing this like Mignola.
Yeah.
And I look through his book and he's got all these Hellboys and like an idiot, I didn't get my Hellboy sketch from him before he got signed. So now it's not the same thing, but I'm still gonna get one.
That's why I gotta get something colored by Zolo before he blows up.
Dude, that's colored by Zolo. I have four other prints colored by Zolo in the house.
I spend so much time at Heroes. I go to big cons, I go for artists.
Yeah.
You know, small cons I go to buy books. Big cons, yeah. I go for artists.
I go to Heroes Con to fill up my fucking books.
Yeah. And it's, for whatever reason, I've been attracted to more writers down there. I've met a couple of, obviously, we all go around and meet as many people as possible.
Mm.
And I always meet some cool people, but Cullen Bunn, I always visit every year.
Yeah.
That's my fucking homie.
Cullen's a good guy, and we still stay in contact on Twitter. Brock and Bo, I stay in contact with all the time, every year I try to meet somebody different.
Yeah, same.
And that's through thing. Cullen, I met AC Zamudo last year, who we now stay in contact on Twitter and stuff. And her art, I like that stuff. I like the stuff a lot of the people that Cullen worked with, I like. I like Tyler Crook's stuff. Yeah. The guy who did the Sixth Gun.
I actually have the Sixth Gun sitting on the shelf, if I'm not mistaken. Unless it's upstairs. It might be upstairs.
Bridget, one of my favorite prints on my wall is Bridget Connell's Star Wars. She's got a Star Wars Chewbacca just raising hell in the middle of a bunch of
paper. Yeah, that's one of my favorite prints.
I have one of the original small ones and then a print.
It was so funny because when I got my Charlie Day one, I wanted the smaller one. And she was like, I'll just give you a big one.
Yeah.
Being so fucking nice.
I've told her for about 2 years now that the plan is to eventually get her Freddie Mercury riding the tiger as a wraparound on my house.
So incredible.
Like a car wrap. I was like, yeah, I'll just get it like a dope car wrap.
That woman's brain is just like, I can't wait to read
that. And I go every year, I look at the list and I go every year and I say, I actually put in a wish list of who I want to meet.
Yeah.
And sometimes it gets filled, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. This year I really wanted to meet Matthew Roberts. I love Manifest Destiny.
It is so good.
That book is
I have the first trade.
And I bought two original pages from him.
I told you the concept of Manifest Destiny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you went over it, I think, a couple weeks ago. But if there's one person I can recommend everyone drop in and see at conventions that she's at, Afua Richardson is one of the best people to go and talk to. She's the nicest human being. She has the coolest art style.
Still afraid of Adam Hughes.
Still terrified, which is the funniest shit in the world. Which is funny,
because she's used to talking to Stelfreeze. Stelfreeze fucking terrifies me, but I can call Adam Hughes on Skype and tell him what's up.
Yeah, like, and that's the funny thing about doing what we do, and I'm sure Sammy can kind of get in on board with us on this, is that being someone who's in this industry, in the capacity that guys like us are, like, you make friends with these people, and then when other people realize you're friends with Stelfreeze and Adam Hughes and DMC, like, people like that, like, and then they're like, what do you mean you're friends with them? Like, I have that son of a bitch's number. Like, I can text him if I want to. Yeah. And they're like, how? And do you? No, I don't fucking text him. He's busy.
He's working
Shut up.
He's working on a book.
Yeah, like, he's drawing and writing Betty and Veronica. So, no, I'm not up Adam Hughes' ass right now, because that guy has work to do.
Exactly.
When he's done.
Because he's my friend.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Somehow I've always had the ability to just get lucky in people that would... When my kids play softball... One of the things I did for the team as a coach was work with college recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I would start a conversation with one of the college coaches, and then I would turn around and look, and I'm surrounded by all these Division I college coaches. We would be having this great conversation. Kind of coming back full circle to horror a little bit. A couple years ago, we went to Mad Monster Party, and I looked down, and Gunnar Hansen, who played the first Leatherface,
R.I.P.,
was just sitting at a table by himself, and I was like, I'm going to go talk to that dude. So I go over, and I just strike up a conversation. I bought a sign, you know, a sign print of the Texas Chainsaw poster.
Mm-hmm.
We had a conversation. He took a picture for free. And then 3 months later, he passes away.
Which
was terrible. And this past year, we were at this little con in Martinsville, Virginia. They were having a Friday the 13th experience where you just got to meet a bunch of people who were in Friday the 13th. And Friday night, there was nobody there. And they had us all squeezed in this little room. And I said, you know what? If I don't start meeting some of these people, I'm not going to get to, like mm-hmm. Gunner. So I said, I'm going to go talk to Kane Hodder.
He's so nice.
So I
and
go
he's
in.
Huge.
Yes. He's massive.
Well, actually, he's a little bit shorter than I am. But he's
really, he's built buff. Like Dr. He's Robotnik. Buff,
yeah.
He's just like a circle with stick legs.
That's perfect.
Egghead.
So I go in to talk to Kane Hodder and just say I appreciate your work, you know, and I treat him like people.
That's what's important to us as well, is we try not to get too starfuckery.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I mean?
And too fanboy.
Yeah.
We've all had this conversation about which person we've fanboyed out over.
Gerard Way.
Like, and that's the thing is that
George,
like,
Romero.
Well, none of us.
That would be hard for me.
None of us have, like, full on fucking geek boyed out.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, but the thing is, Sarah gives me shit because, like, there are two guys that I fanboy over a little bit every time I see them.
Dave Peterson.
Dave Peterson is one of them, the creator of Mouse Guard. But it's gotten to the point with David Peterson that he's usually so busy that when I walk up to the table, I'm just kind of like, hey, anything new out yet? And he's like, no, I'll see you next year. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'll just walk off. But Cullen Bunn, she saw me interact with Cullen for a solid 20 minutes because, like, I will sit and talk to Cullen Bunn because he's my favorite comic book writer. And
it's like when I met Garth.
Yeah, and she walked away from him, she's just got this shit-eating grin on her face, and I was like, what? And she was like, you're so good with words and people, except around that guy. And I was just like, what are you talking about? She was like, it's just fun to watch you do me. Just struggle to get through a conversation. And I was like, shut up.
So the night previous.
Oh, I want to hear the rest of the story about Kane.
Okay. Just real quick. So I ended up because I walked up to Kane Hodder and said, I appreciate your work. He stood up, shook my hand. We started talking about age. I ended up in a 30-minute conversation that included Kane Hodder, CJ Parker, who also played Jason.
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Vampire Santa, who is a local guy in Virginia who does all these local movies, and he looks like Santa, but he has vampire teeth.
So, in other words, his legal name is Vampire Santa.
I think so. Yeah. And then this little woman walks up to us, and she's wearing a Freddy Krueger sweater, And I look down, and she's got a priest collar, and she's holding a little dog. And
is it Danielle Harris?
No. She is a ordained exorcist.
Hell yes!
I have a 30-minute conversation with Kane Hodder, CJ Parker, Vampire Santa, and an ordained exorcist. How did that happen to me? Because I walked up to Kane Hodder. That was it. A little bit later on in the convention, I turn and Jim Wellborn, who was the first person to play Michael Myers, is standing right beside of me.
Big dude.
And I turned and looked at him and I went, hey. And I just started a conversation. I said, so what are you doing now? He says, well, I'm in Vegas directing Blue Man Group, which led into a story about Shane, the old Western.
Yeah.
That Jack Palance starred in, and he said, that son of a bitch couldn't ride a horse. I was holding him out. That iconic shot of him getting on the horse, I'm standing on the side holding his leg so he wouldn't fall off.
This guy was a stunt director before he was the Shape.
Oh, my God.
Because he wasn't even... he's not even in the movie. He's not credited as Michael Myers. He's credited as the Shape.
Yeah.
Just a bit of trivia.
Yeah.
The night before the Garth Ennis signing at Sailfish, my fiance texts me and she's like, leave work right now. And I was like, I can't. And she was like,
This is on two episodes in a row now.
Yeah.
Is that good of a story? It was literally the last one we posted. Oh, yeah.
Long story short, I ended up getting shit faced with Garth Ennis.
Oh, wow.
At Hoots Roller Bar. And he is the funniest fucking Irish drunk I've ever. He is Cassidy.
I had a blast meeting him and Jeff Rowe that day.
And it was so funny the next day because I was like the eighth person in line, I think, because I was getting shit signed.
Yeah.
I got my number one, Boys number one, Wildstorm, the first edition. Mm-hmm. And he was like,
that doesn't really exist anymore.
He was like, I can't believe you have this. And I was like, why? He was like, I don't even have this. So
he said he couldn't even find it.
Yeah, I walked up to him and I walked up with a Preacher number one.
So did I.
And I said, I looked at him and I said, I bought this off the shelf when it came out. I saw it in previews. Mm-hmm. I bought it off the shelf. I read it one time and it went into this sleeve and it's not been out until right now and you're going to sign it.
Did he personalize it?
Yes.
Yeah, he personalized mine too.
Yeah. Which I like. You know, some people...
It's fine for me because that bitch is not going on eBay.
Year before last, I volunteered at Heroes and the person I wanted to meet that year was Jason Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, you're playing in my childhood right now. Thor, Star Wars, Doctor Strange. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So,
plus Southern Bastards.
I'm in the South too. So somebody, they needed volunteers to wrangle his lines anymore. And I raised my hand. I was like, ooh, me.
I remember seeing you standing there.
So I struck up. Every time one of these guys would come up with just this stack of books that they didn't want personalized or anything, they're just trying to resell, I would strike up a conversation because they wouldn't. And we had some of the best conversations. And Kelly and I had some great conversations about kids and da-da-da-da and all this stuff. And a couple weeks later, I end up in a Twitter conversation with Jason Aaron, Jason Latour, Cullen Bunn, and Josh Williamson about wrestling.
I didn't know they were smart.
All of a sudden, we have a six-man tag match going on Twitter with me and all these famous comic book guys, and I'm like, how the hell does this happen to me? I turned the Samuel.
It's funny. My buddy Brett was telling me, he was like, "Yeah, man, next time I go out to Portland, you need to come because we're gonna go to the Diffraction House, Kelly Sudaconic and Matt Fraction's house." And I was like, "Yeah, we're gonna." I was like, what? He was like, yeah, you need to come with me to the next Portland con so we can go over the Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick's. And I was like, what?
He was like,
it's pretty cool now because they're starting to serve beer even though they're sober. And I was like, oh, that's very thoughtful.
I'm not touching this one. Anyway. So
you brought it up, not me.
You brought it up.
I was talking about Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Yeah, no, I heard you. I was there. So before we end up wrapping this up, something that we love to ask all of our guests who go to a lot of conventions, let's get your weirdest, most fucked up, or most awkward con story.
Oh, Man.
Because Colin just touched on mine. So.
I didn't even tell it. I didn't even mention it.
Weirdest con story. I don't know. Okay. Probably my weirdest one was this spring at Winston-Salem Comic Con. I had been talking for 2 years about a Thor hammer. Mm-hmm. I had a real Thor hammer made. It's made out of steel. It's
we held it.
Yes.
How much does it weigh? About 25 pounds.
About 25 pounds.
God, I had just nailed
it. Real leather around the. You know, it was made by the guys at the Renaissance Festival. So the kids had been hearing about it, and we were filming that day for the documentary. So I pulled the hammer out to show the kids, and they were like, "Oh, finally!" You know, everybody's jonesing about it. Everybody's coming through talking about it because I've just got it sitting down on the table. And these two young girls come up, one of them's like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." I was standing there holding it. And she said, everybody that grabbed it, I was like, "Now, you got to understand, this is not a plastic hammer. You got to be careful. It's two hands, you know." Some kids I wouldn't let hold it because it was just so heavy. I wasn't scared of them dropping it. They're not going to hurt it. I was afraid they were going to drop it on them.
On themselves, yeah.
So this girl's like, "Oh, no, it'll be a piece of cake." She takes both hands and puts it around the hammer and instantly raises it straight up, and the head falls right towards her face. My hand goes whoosh and just stops it. And I went, "I told you it was heavy." And she went, "I didn't know it was that heavy." What the hell am I going to lie to you? Do I want to see you smack yourself in the face with a freaking hammer?
Congratulations. It's a hunk of fucking steel.
Congratulations, Sammy. You're worthy.
Yeah,
for now. Simple bitch.
It's a child, you dick.
No, that was an adult woman.
Oh.
Adult women. The never simple mind. Bitch stands.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And she was like, "Ooh, I didn't realize it was going to be that
it's
heavy."
It's a hunk of fucking raw steel.
I was like, "Look, I understand that men have been telling you this is 6 inches. I understand that a foot long is actually 6 inches. But if I tell you the damn hammer's heavy, I'm telling you the damn hammer's heavy." I thought she was going to bust her nose just slap open. So that's God. Probably my weirdest con story. I tend to just have good conversations. I don't know that I have anything real weird happen to me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I guess we're in that pocket. We're in that pocket of like some crazy shit happens to us.
We also
ask for
it. I don't want to say instigate it because it's not direct, but we give off the vibe that makes people
want to do crazy shit.
I got a weird kid stalker at that same con that was in the panel when we did it. A little boy, and they sit through the whole panel, and afterwards, it was like 15 minutes later, he came over to the table and he was like, "My mom told me to come over here. She says you need to tell me how to get into acting."
And I remember that.
I went,
start.
"Okay, let's go talk to mom. Because I'm going to tell you, and you're going to forget by the time you get over there, because you're like 10, you know?" So
you have the attention span of a goldfish, or half of one.
I have the attention span of a goldfish, but that's beside the point. So I went over, and I told her, I said, "You know, if you're serious about this," and I give them a series, you know, I kind of fell into it. There's no way to get in and out of it, but...
I love how you said there's no way to get out of it. Yeah. You're just stuck.
Once you're in, you're kind of stuck there because they kind of expect you to be there, and especially if you get a check. And I have got one paid acting role.
Hell yeah.
Better than me. And I did it for 20 years.
Are you old enough to be in it?
I'm 30. I started acting when I was like
10. That five. Would be 20 years.
Well, I quit acting. Like,
I'm a math major.
Years ago.
So wrapping it up here, we're going to do picks and plugs.
Picks and plugs.
Anybody? Oh, like you don't have something to pick or plug. Sure, give me a fucking break.
Pick your genre. How about that?
How about this? Sammy, this is what you do. You just you break out a little Sammy on us.
Okay.
And you get into Sammy mode.
Sammy.
And then you Sammy pick up, and then you can Sammy
if you
it to
keep
us.
Saying Sammy, I'm going to need a sandwich.
Sold at Quiznos.
Yeah. So if I can go first if that's...
Yeah, go for it.
All right, cool. I recently heard a... a hip hop song that I really, really, really enjoyed.
This is surprising.
I want to play Pick Bingo. That'd be a weird.
That is a get Pick a bingo off of that. This is a weird one for me, but it is by an Australian hip hop group called Hilltop Hoods. And Hilltop Hoods has this song called Speaking in Tongues that is just fantastic. The video is cool. The song is great. It's about something fantastic as well. It's got a great guest appearance on it as a, I guess, interlude. But I really, really enjoyed it. But before my pick is over, I actually have something that's kind of businessy I have to take care of. I put our very first kind of Twitter game thing on on Twitter the other day. I posted a picture of a character out of my sketchbook onto our Twitter, and I said, first person who can name this character, I will give a shout out on the show. And it was a Black Adam sketch, and the first person to do it was Caleb Reed, which is at @AceReed515 on Twitter. So Caleb Reed, good job. I appreciate you participating in the game. There will be more like this. And yeah, that's our first real shout out for a game. So stay tuned, and maybe one day we'll call your name on our weird, awkward Twitter games. I mean, we give shit away already. Like, we talked about this today.
The next time I see y'all, I will hook y'all up with a couple of Hank vs. the Undead DVDs and T-shirts to give away.
I am very
swag.
Much
swag.
We are all about this.
Do you know swag is an acronym?
Yeah, I did. Stuff we all get.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's the truth.
Did you know that a swag is like a Christmas decoration made from a pine branch?
Thank you. You're just making
shit
up.
Can we give those away?
What the hell was that?
The things that like people drape on their...
This has been Crafty Corner with Olivia Taylor.
Yeah.
Those are called swag.
Is that why like dirt weed is swag?
You know what? Just realized if you and Taylor got married, your name would be Olivia Taylor Meeks.
Is dirt weed anything like skunk weed?
It's just like terrible weed.
It's just, dirt weed. Like,
shit weed.
Oh, dirt.
But that has an H in it. That has an H in it.
What the hell?
D-I-R-T.
You know, we didn't even mention the head.
Dirt weed.
We didn't. This is just a
severed head on the table.
Sammy gave all of us a little head.
Hey.
I'll go next.
To just sideline it.
My pick this week is going to be The Blair Witch. It is a fantastic horror film. It's a return to form for the franchise. Adam Wingard. It's probably, next to The Guest, it's his best movie to date. It's really goddamn good. I mean, that's all you can say about it. It's shot incredibly well. It gives you things that you've always been missing and still leaves some questions. My only criticism for it is it doesn't add anything to the lore. Well, maybe it does, kind of. I'll retract that statement. It could have added more to the lore.
Or redact.
See, look at this guy. I too have a shout out.
He didn't even plug his own podcast. That was
why did I plug it? We're on it.
Marketing, dude. Marketing.
For those of you who don't know, there is this awesome podcast called Name Redacted.
Why do you
podcast.
Think every rap artist says their name in their song?
I just
Jeezy.
Sorry, those are on the radio.
A friend of the podcast, Leonard. Turned me on to this group called Thymescria, and it's like this coalition of people who try to set up safe spaces at cons, a really good support network for...
Are you sure it's not just Themyscira?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a written word. It's not a pronounced word, so it's open to...
It's I've heard it pronounced like 8 different ways.
I got you.
I've heard it pronounced different ways.
I've never heard it said like that in my life.
Anyway.
Thymescria? Anyway, getting away from semantics, it's named after where Wonder Woman comes from, if that helps you find it. But they have a GoFundMe going on right now. It might actually be on Indiegogo. It's however you pronounce it, Rising. And basically, they're just trying to raise enough money to up their presence at cons. And I think it's a really cool thing. So check it out.
It's a great name for it, too.
Yeah.
You want to spell it out for me real quick?
I can't spell it off the top of my head.
I can tell you this, that it's not spelled with an R-E-A at the end. It's not. It's E-R-A.
Hey,
I know that.
We're Southern. Everything ends up with that. Everything ends with
I'll look up the mascara. I got you. Don't you worry.
Sammy, you have a pick. You want me to go first?
I mean, I've got one, but that's
you can go for it.
Up to you.
Go for it.
I don't know that I've heard y'all talk about this, so as the comic book man, I'm going to give a comic book pick.
Okay.
Okay.
My number one book every month, kind of ties in with the month of October, too, is Nailbiter by Joshua Williamson.
Okay.
If you don't know the story, it's there is a town in Oregon called Buckaroo, Oregon, and it has had 17 serial killers born there. The idea is a guy rolls into town to see to do an investigation while these serial killers. Mm-hmm. The town has embraced it. They have a place called the Murder Store. They're selling gimmicks and all this kind of stuff for it. So he's trying to figure out why all these serial killers came from this town. He disappears. His buddy, who is a former army interrogator, rolls into town, partners up with the sheriff to go looking for his friend. The most famous serial killer in the town is Charles Warren, a.k.a. the Nailbiter, who would kill his victims and then chew their fingernails off.
Weird.
He happens to be the high school sweetheart of the sheriff. So they have this tremendous adventure that's still ongoing. I love Josh Williamson from Ghosted. To Birthright, which is another really, it was released, started about the same time. His work on Flash, now he's become a big time guy now. He did the Illuminati for Marvel, and he's working on Flash and something else right now. But Nailbiter, the number six issue is just these hands holding this swaddled baby with a Hannibal Lecter mask. It's
sounds like right up my alley.
It's one of my favorite covers of all time. It's drawn by Mike Henderson, and it's a tremendous book if you're into horror and that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out once it gets into trades, because I can't buy books monthly anymore.
Well, it's in trades now. They're up to about the third one. So.
Okay, good. Yeah.
There you go.
And most times you can get them on in stock or something like that.
God, I love in stock.
And it reads really good in trade. It reads good single issue. You know, sometimes they're... Image books are better in trade.
Yeah.
I read
trade in Saga.
Saga is much better in trade.
And I actually read Walking Dead in oversized. I went to the oversized book.
Yeah.
And I like that.
I do compendiums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's just easier that way. Yeah. Especially after they started, once they went weekly for a year.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't keep up.
So Nailbiter is mine.
Why don't you plug the movie premiere?
Oh, yes, that was... Speaking of marketing, next Friday night at... I got caught. Next Friday, October 7th at Red Cinemas in Greensboro is the world premiere of the Greensboro shot Witching Hour 2, which is an anthology film... horror film, and I'm in the very first segment entitled Dark Heat, which is based in 1947. I play, basically it's a regular old 47's kind of character is in an alleyway. He sees some shots fired in the window upstairs. A guy stumbles out and drops a package on the ground, which he picks up and promptly kind of walks off with. Because the guy's dead, so it's not a big deal. He starts being followed by this shadowy figure that appears in all these alleyways and kind of starts following him around everywhere.
That sounds fun.
It's about
Gilbert Gottfried.
It's about an 8-minute segment. I play the original guy who dies and the Shadow Man. So.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Very nice. And when does Sammy the Comic Book Man come out?
Sammy the Comic Book Man is in the editing process right now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully right around Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's kind of our target date.
Where can people find out more about that?
If Sammy the Comic Book Man Facebook page, Wreak Havoc Productions Facebook page or website.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing. Am I doing plugs now?
I don't know. Apparently, we decided you got plug stuff before I pick. So,
Sammy the Comic Book Man page is the best. Is the Facebook page is the best place to find that stuff?
Cool.
Awesome. I have a pick.
I'm sorry.
I know. I have a pick. A TV show that just replaced iCarly as my favorite podcast TV show because the pool is really small. I just started watching Marin. It's really good.
Yeah, it is good.
It's really good. It's about like Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically Louis with a different mental disorder. Instead of depression, it's about like OCD anxiety. And
narcissism.
It's like,
that sounds really
kind of BoJack-y, but backwards, where it starts off dark and then ends bright. So you don't get that slow decline.
Have you gotten
into
to the
depression.
Third season yet?
You get no. Okay. And I know that it changes a little bit, but at least the first two seasons have a, and it gets dark in places, but it gets hype in places. I was really fucking sleeping on it, and consequently, as a side pick, I started listening to WTF, and it's fucking awesome.
WTF,
like,
is good.
I had this weird fucking stigma.
It's his podcast.
Bad taste in my mouth about Marc Maron for some reason, but I have totally done a 180 on that. Marc Maron's fucking awesome. He's doing cool shit.
Even Marc Maron hates Marc Maron.
So. Yeah. He's still a crazy person on Twitter.
Yeah.
When he listens to this episode.
If Marc Maron listened to this episode and then
I would pee myself.
I would die. It would be awesome.
That's the biggest podcast.
We had had the fortune of having an interview with Stephen Tobolowsky.
Mm-hmm.
We did a podcast on Memento. And he said he'd do a 5-30 minute interview.
Hell yeah.
I love it when that happens.
Hell yeah, that's great.
And his podcast, The Tobolowsky Files, is really good.
Yeah.
He hasn't done an episode in a while. But.
Oh, yeah. Alex totally had another. He didn't read the convention booklet moment as we were leaving Dragon Con. I forgot to talk about this.
Oh, really?
They were talking about Jim Butcher, and I was looking through the thing, and I was like, oh, look, he was at Dragon Con. And I was just like,
no, because I walked by all the booths of all the motherfuckers that were fantasy writers, and I didn't know he was in like the Hall of Legends.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, he was. In
I
the
didn't
Hall
know
of Fame.
He was in the Hall of Fame. I thought I was like, oh, if he's here, he'll clearly be in this part of the fucking thing. And then, like, as we're leaving, Colin was like, oh, Jim Butcher, and I was like, he's not here, and he goes, yeah, and shows me. And then my immediate reaction is, why? Like, I just get so angry.
Well, in Alex's defense a little bit, he did have a little tough time getting down there.
Yeah, we did.
Sammy, if you go to Dragon Con next year, fuck the program, download the app.
Yeah.
Well, the program is
a nightmare.
You know
what, let's just do it together. Let's just all be in it together.
Supposedly, my daughter is going to get a full-time job with FEMA, and she's going to get stationed in Atlanta. And if that's the case, the horror tract has already kind of reached out to me a little bit. So I may be there.
If you need any help on the horror tract, let me
know. There's a podcast
we can do panels.
Called Horror News Radio, and they did almost all the panels down there this year.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But I think they were kind of looking for some different people too. So
I'm a horror nerd.
Yeah.
So.
I'll market you, Colin. I got you.
Also, I listened to the Jess episode. You guys are awesome, but big ups to Jess. She's totally right. You can't find anything the first 2 days.
You're there. Nope.
Sure. What?
You can't find.
She said on the episode, she's like, yeah, you can't find anything the first 2 days you're there. And she was totally right.
Yeah. And we underestimated that because we're like, we're veterans. And then we got there and we were like, what's happening? Like, it was.
Sea of humanity.
I do not have crowd anxiety. I do not have, like, that the people sweats. I don't have that. I don't worry about like tons of people. Mm-hmm. I walked into downtown Atlanta and my body just went, go to sleep. I was just like, what in the fuck is happening? Like, I couldn't function.
I immediately found the first liquor store I could find. I went in and I bought a half a pint of vodka and I put it in a water bottle. And I lived on that all day.
I was willing to pay $8 a pound.
I mean, it's crazy.
80,000 people.
It's nuts.
Wow.
Plus the first UGA home game of the year, plus a Braves game.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was insanity.
All of the cigarettes.
I was
willing to pay the $8 a pack for my brand.
I was attached to this thing.
Yeah, I was just like, I would just go outside and I was like, no, I need 25 more minutes just to sit here and smoke.
Well, we loosened up and we got into it. We got into the spirit of it, which is party.
Yeah,
it is a party.
Yeah,
see, and that's why it's not really.
It's also 50-50. It's not necessarily party in like let's get wasted and like stay up all night kind of party. It's everyone is there to scream and shout and have fun and celebrate comic books. And earlier in the day, it's much more, hey, we're all in costumes and we're out and having fun. And then it transitions into night for the people that are nighttime people.
Yeah. The horror news guys were sort of the same way. They were like, it's 24 hours if you want it.
Yeah.
But you know, if you do 8 in the morning to 7 at night, then it's
and then there are the people who I saw. just hanging out in front of panel rooms waiting for their track to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were just hanging. They just did the sci-fi track all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is awesome. Yeah, like, it's there if you want it, you know? And I wish we'd have dove a little more into panel tracks.
We had no fucking time. We didn't know. No. Like, come on. If the first half of the first day was us going, Georgia. Like, that was... Brazelton. Like, it was...
Anchovies from SpongeBob.
Yeah, it was just.
Where does Dragon God start and end? I don't know.
Like we would just walk, and then all of a sudden there'd be nothing, and then we turn around one more block, and there was just like this sea of fucking people, and I was just like, "Where's the time rift?" What?
And I will say that Dragon Con volunteers could learn a shitload from the volunteers we have at cons.
Yeah,
because. You want to talk about some of the snarkiest, most unhelpful fucking people.
Oh my god, like that's rough. Like we asked the guy where to go.
The most,
well, they do it the way DragonCon does volunteers is you work 20 hours 1 year and then you get a lifetime membership to DragonCon. So there's a lot of people that are doing it not necessarily because they want to volunteer.
That's just kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like we asked somebody,
are we doing that next year?
I'm undecided.
It remains to be seen. Now I asked somebody, I was like, where is things? Where are things? Like, we were like,
where are things?
And there he was like, dude, it's 4 hotels and 3 convention centers. It's everywhere. And I was like, thanks
for being helpful.
Yeah, thanks,
and he looks behind us. Or no, he looks behind him. No, he looks behind him when we're standing in front of him. And he goes, I think there's stuff in there. And I just looked at the guy and like pure rage, murder, no sleep, and just fucking frustration on my face. And I was just like, I will find you, and I will burn your house down, and I will take your children, and they will become my demons to torture your life. Like, I was just so angry at this guy for being such an asshole.
And it is pretty well organized once you crack the code on it, except for the panels are sort of all over the place.
I don't like the idea of standing in line for an hour and a half for a panel. That made me fucking insane.
That was.
I took a nap while waiting for the Venture Brothers panel.
That was how it was. At I'm not.
Yeah,
dude, that's the thing about North Carolina cons. So well organized.
Well, these are well organized. It's just that they, like, if you want to get into certain panels, you're gonna have to wait 2 hours for the panel ahead of it to be done, because everybody else is. Otherwise, you're not gonna get into.
You know what I found. It's easier to just buy a table and set some shit out on it and be there early and just walk around and talk to people. Mad Monster was great for that.
Or it's just as easy to be like, hey, we run a podcast. Oh, are those press passes? Thanks for the press passes. Yeah. Those are equally as good.
She has a heart condition.
We are running up.
Yeah, we're running up. Yeah. This is fucking.
We gotta wrap it up.
Sammy,
thank you. Gotta go to work.
Sammy, thank you so much for coming in, man. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
We will have you back on, and if you would like to pull probably Colin for your movie podcast, I'm sure he'd love to do it.
We'll get around to everybody eventually.
Yeah.
I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, as far as I know.
Thanks everyone for listening. Subscribe, rate, comment, send us emails, requests, all that stuff.
Send us your butts. We don't care.
And I got
you're not looking through the email.
I like butts. They don't lie.
Well, no, Sammy sent us our first dick pic.
Yes, I did.
That is very true.
You asked for naked pictures.
No, he literally sent us a picture of a guitar pick with the word dick on it. So it was, in fact, a dick pick.
I wish we'd have been more active on Twitter, because that would have been tweeted out.
Yeah, sure. Guys, check out the dick pic. So thanks, Sammy, for the first dick pic. That was... And it was an adventure for all of us.
Yeah, you were like, Sammy sent us a dick pic. And I was like, what?
And then I linked it and he goes, oh. So thanks everybody again for listening. As always, I'm Alexander Fulmer.
I'm Chris Nielsen.
And I'm Colin Norris. Go out and touch some butts.